Psalm 87. I titled this message, How Firm a Foundation. We're going to sing that at the end of it. But that's the title that stood out to me as I studied this. It starts out, His foundation. God has not, never has done anything without a foundation. Everything God does, He has a foundation for it. His foundation is in the holy mountains. And this word holy tells me He's speaking in a spiritual matter, because there's nothing on this earth that's holy. You know, there's nothing, you know, they call that the Holy Land over there in Israel. That's not Holy Land. That's land like this land. This is part of this earth. But I had some thoughts on this, and I want to give them to you tonight. Every building that's worth anything has a foundation. It has a foundation. If it's a good building, as I said, if it's worth anything, if it's a good building, it will have a very, very good foundation laid first. It'll be laid first. You don't build the building, then lay a foundation. You lay the foundation, then you build the building. God laid the foundation, and the building is being built right now. As believers are being saved, the building is being built and it's being completed. And when that last living stone is put into the building, it'll be complete and this will be over. This part of it will be over. A good building, a good foundation is one that will not sink under the weight of the building. A building is no better than its foundation, is it? It's no better than its foundation. Well, God has laid a strong foundation for His building, His church, the building He's building. He's laid a strong foundation for it in, now listen, He's laid that strong foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. And He's the cornerstone of the foundation. He's the cornerstone of the building. He's the foundation and He's the cornerstone of it. It is written in 1 Corinthians 3:11, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. And we'll see this as we go along. As I said, the foundation is laid before the building is built. The scripture says that Jesus Christ is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He's the foundation and He was laid before the foundation of the world. Peter says this in 1 Peter 1:20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So before God laid the foundation of the world, He laid the foundation of salvation in Jesus Christ, His Son. Long before He laid the foundation of this world, before He created it. Now every good building has an architect and it has plans for the building that's going to be built. The architect of our salvation, the architect of the foundation, the architect of the building in which God's going to dwell is God Himself. He's the architect. Can you think of a better architect? Just look at the earth. Look at creation. I'm more and more amazed as I grow older. I am more amazed just watching a bird fly. I can watch a bird fly and stand more amazed now than ever before. I look at creation, I look at the trees, I look at the animals, I look at man, I look at myself, I look at the mental capacity that we have, the body God's given us, fearfully and wonderfully made. our architect, God. He did all this. And he's the architect of salvation. He's the architect of the foundation. He's the architect of the building. And he drew up the plans in the covenant of grace. We have a covenant of grace. And God goes by that covenant. He will not break his covenant. Everything in the covenant, God will fulfill. He will fulfill it. He's good for his word. God's good for his word. In Jesus Christ, God laid the foundation for all that he will do for time and eternity. Everything God will do. Everything. He laid the foundation of it in that man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. He's the foundation of it. We've seen the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. We have no other foundation other than Christ. Now this foundation that God has laid is a sure foundation because God laid it. What gives you confidence and comfort that some meteorite, some big meteor, is going to slam into this earth and destroy it? What gives you the comfort that's not going to happen? Because God Almighty controls all things. And God has established this earth, he said. He established this earth. And it's going to last as long as he has purposed it to last. He laid the foundation of it. Here's what's interesting, though. It says he laid the foundations of it in the sea. This earth is unstable, isn't it? It's only going to be here for a while. Now, he keeps it. He does keep it. He established it. But it's movable. It's going to perish. But the foundation that he has laid for us in Jesus Christ, the foundation of salvation, forgiveness, pardon, justification, righteousness, all that we need to stand before him will not perish. He says here, his foundation is in the holy mountains. Those mountains stand for strength and stability. They stand for strength and stability. The foundation of God is sure because God has laid it. It has a divine origin. Then it's a sure foundation for God himself is the foundation. God incarnate. God in Christ. God in the Trinity of his person is the foundation of it. He's the strength of that foundation. It's a sure foundation because he laid it and he laid it by his power. And then it's a sure foundation because it's established by his word. If God's given his word on something, he will not break it. He's magnified his word above his name. God's good for his word. And it's a sure foundation because it's holy. It's a perfect foundation. It's holy. And then listen, God, it says in verse 2, he loves the assembly of his church. That's local and universal. You reckon we ought to love what God loves? Do you love this assembly? I know we know the right answer. I know we know how to answer it. But I always try to be careful not to answer something because I know the answer, but because I really know what I'm talking about. I know it by experience. I know it. We are to love what he loves and hate what he hates. And here it says, the Lord loveth, he loveth. Now when it says God loveth, that's a powerful statement. Powerful statement. He loveth the gates, and that word gates has the meaning of door. Christ said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, He's a door into the church. He's a door into heaven. He's a door into God's presence. He's the door. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion, speaking here of his church, his people, more than all the dwellings of Jacob. I wrote something about this. I think I may have put something in this a few weeks ago, but I put something in there this week about this. Private devotion is very important. It is. To get off to yourself, read the Word of God, private prayer, closet prayer. It's very important. But the public assembly of God's church to worship Him in spirit and truth is what He loves most. That's what it says. He loves the assembling of His people together more than all. And He loves us individually. And He enjoys our fellowship privately. But I tell you this, He says none of them supersede the gathering together of His people, what we are doing right now. God loves this. Think about that. Think about that. God loves this assembly right now. He gets great pleasure out of this assembly right now. If two or three are gathered together in His name, He's here. And He loves it. He enjoys it. That just shed a new light on it for me. It made me think before coming down here tonight, down here in the fellowship hall. It made me really examine my heart and think, do I really love what I'm doing? Do I really love this gathering? Because I'm old enough. One thing about getting older, one of the positives about growing older is you have the experience of what you're talking about. When you're young, you don't really have that experience. But when you get older, you do. And I want to come to this service with a real joy and looking forward to it, because I know my flesh, something of it. I don't know the fullness of it. I don't know the full corruption of my heart. But I do know this. I know that this flesh can give us 1,000 excuses on Thursday evening or a Sunday morning not to get here. I mean, there can be just 1,001 excuses. I'm this or that. I know myself. I know my heart. I've done it. And I realize as I get older, I realize to recognize that old flesh, that old man. I know what he wants. He wants to sleep in on Sunday. I always sleep better on Sunday morning than I do the rest of the week. It's just harder for some reason to get up on Sunday morning than it is on Monday morning. It's this flesh. It's this flesh. That's very real. That's that old man. That old man enjoys the world, but that old man does not enjoy this, but that new man does. That new man does. And listen, do you want to enjoy this more? Feed that new man. Feed that new man. Feed him with the Word of God. Feed him with the gospel. Sit under the gospel as often as you can. Feed him. And I tell you what, the more we feed him, the more we will enjoy this. The more this will become real joy. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. This is where His ordinances are kept. This is where they are kept. This is where Christ crucified is set forth. This is where the glory of His person is set forth the clearest. This is where a lot of mysteries are cleared up. How many times have you said to me, or you've said to other pastors, and they preach, you say, I've never seen that before. Well, just think, if you weren't here, you still wouldn't see it. See how important it is? This is where Christ crucified his priest. This is where you are taught the word of God. This is where we are taught of God. God is our teacher here tonight, not just me. Here is where sinners are saved. We'll see this in a minute. It said this man was born there. This man was born there in Zion. Fellowship with Christ and one another. You know, our Lord said, no man lights a candle, puts it under a bushel. The Lord has saved this one and this one and this one. And he means for us to come together and fellowship with one another, fellowship in him. It's what 1 John chapter 1 says. You know, it talks about our fellowship was with the Father and Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm writing these things to you that your fellowship will be with us and us and our fellowship with him. We fellowship together here with the Lord Jesus Christ. And upon this foundation, God is building a city. Yeah, we're a local assembly here, and we're not big. We're not a big assembly, but you know, if you put the whole assembly together, it's a city. If you put the saints above and the saints below, the saints from the beginning and the saints to the end, put it all together, and it's a huge city. God's building a city. He says in verse 3, glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Selah, think about this. Glorious things are spoken of thee. John Calvin said that it's translated like this. That which is spoken in thee are glorious things. When we stand here, when I stand here, and I preach Christ to you week after week, and we touch on this part of Christ and this about Christ and the glory of Christ and his person, his work, and the unsearchable riches of Christ. We cannot exhaust them. Glorious things are spoken of him. Not only here in this assembly, but other assemblies in this country and throughout this world. There's a city that we can't see with these eyes. The city of God. City of God. It's glorious things, he said, are spoken of thee. I'm trying to think of the psalm. Psalm 48. Look at Psalm 48. This is what God's doing. He's putting together his city. He is the bride of Christ, the building of God, the city. Let's see, Psalm 48, let me go to verse 1 and 2. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. And I think he has to be talking about that new earth. That new earth. She's the joy of the whole earth. And who knows what will happen here yet? I don't know. God knows. Who knows what will happen? But it's the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city. The city. Of the great king. John Gill wrote this. It is the city of the King of Kings, the name of which is Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. Its foundation is Christ. Its walls and bulwarks are salvation. Its gates are praise. Glorious ordinances are administered in it. And glorious truths are preached here. And so the words may be rendered. Glorious things are spoken in thee. In this city. Glorious things are spoken of her because of him. That's why glorious things are spoken in glorious things are spoken in her of him, and glorious things are spoken of her because of him. Turn to Ezekiel 16. In Ezekiel 16, and I'll tell you the verse when I get there. 16:14. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord. Your beauty's from me. Your comeliness is from me. Is not our righteousness from him? Has he not made us beautiful in himself? He's altogether lovely. But now his people in him are altogether lovely also. In him they are. And then notice the citizens that make up God's city. Now, if you were going to make up a city, just naturally speaking now, if you took somebody out here off the street and they got to make up a city, you think they would take their enemies and make up the city? You think they would choose their enemies? You think they'd do that? No, I tell you what they'd do. They'd get the rich of the world, the most famous, most influential. Whoever could help them the most would make up the city. Whoever could contribute to their campaign, and so on and so forth. But now listen here. In verse 4, I will make mention of Rahab, that's Egypt, and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia. That's where David slew Goliath. The Philistines hated Israel. And Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. God has a people. To just shorten this down. God has a people all over the world. God has a people in all these countries he just mentioned here. These countries that hated him. God has a people in them. He has a people. His worst enemies will become his citizens, his subjects, his friends. Were you and I not enemies in our minds by wicked works? There's no greater enemy on this earth than we were at one time. I mean that. I realize that. I realize that. I was an enemy of God. Enemy of his grace, enemy of his person, enemy of God. I want nothing to do with him. And yet here I stand, and here you are. Here you are. And God made you a citizen who were at one time enemies. His worst of enemies. We've become citizens. The Gentiles are now part of the city of God. But part of that city. Many from the Gentile nation shall be born again. He said they were born there. Goes on to say here in a minute. They were born. Speaking here of the new birth. They're born again. Born of the Spirit. Born of the Word of God. Preached in this city. And they shall have full rights as citizens of Zion. Have full rights. Full rights of the citizens of Zion of the New Jerusalem. We are a part of that. These are the things you and I need to think upon. These are the things we need to set our hearts on. These things. I know we have to make enough money to pay the bills. I know what we have to do, but here's what our hearts are set on. Because sooner or later, I've learned this, sooner or later, especially the young ones that are here, there's a few young ones here that's going to get a job, try to get a career, but you know what? I was a machinist for 40 years. And you know that means nothing now? That means absolutely nothing. My knowledge of machine shop is totally worthless. And I spent 40 years learning that trade and learning that business. And now it's useless. But what I've learned of Christ is not useless. The message I preach here is not useless. What you come here each week and learn and drink in is eternal. It's eternal. Your knowledge is just going to grow. Your love is just going to grow. But my knowledge of this things of this world is going to be, it's most of it's useless now. But you don't realize that until you get older. You don't realize that until you finally get in your 60s. I know a man that retired years ago. He retired and he was just depressed about it for a long time. And he said he finally realized what it was. He lost his sense of self-worth. Well, we ought to lose that when God saves us. That's when we need to lose it. And then it won't be so hard to let these things go as they come and go. You know what my worth is? Jesus Christ. He's my worth. Jesus Christ is my worth. Apart from Him, I am worthless. And I mean that. I am totally worthless. Apart from Him. And you are too. You are too. All of us are. Apart from Christ, we're worthless. And listen. In verse 5. The Lord shall establish her. He's going to establish His people. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. This Ethiopian. Remember the Ethiopian? We looked at here in Acts. Philip went and preached to. This Ethiopian, this Syrian, this American, this Chinaman, this all, they were born in her. Someone's going to hear the gospel. God's going to send them a preacher. And they're going to hear the gospel, and they're going to be born of God. And they're going to be a part of that city, a part of His church, a part of the body of Christ. And this is going, it's made up of men of all sorts, poor, rich, educated, uneducated. They will have a place in the city of God. And in the city of God, they won't be this way. In the city of God, they won't be uneducated. Now, that we in this world, we classify everybody. But in that city, we're all one. We are all one. This man was born there. I didn't migrate there. We're not immigrants. I said this before, there are no immigrants in the kingdom of God. Every last one of them was born in the kingdom of God. We are born there, is what he says. We're born there. We are born citizens in the kingdom of God. Every one of them. You know, it says this in verse 6. The Lord shall count. The Lord shall count when He writeth up the people. This speaks here of taking a census. When He writes up the people that this man was born there. And just to keep this short, He's saying here, He knoweth them that are His. He knows everyone whom He has birthed. He knows everyone whom he's given life to. You know, there's tares among the wheat. Wherever there's a congregation, there's tares among the wheat. Our Lord said that's so. But our Lord, when he takes a census, he takes a census and it says, this one's mine. This was mine. This was mine. He writes up the citizen. He knows who belongs to the city. He knows who the citizens are of the city. He knows who they are. He takes the census. He knows those who he's given life to and faith to and repentance to. He knows them. When he writes up the sentence, when he counts it, he knoweth them that are his. He knows every one of them. And then in verse 7, as well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. These are the ones that were born there. Who shall be there? The ones who are born there. And this is what they will do. The ones who were born there, they will sing. They will sing and they will play instruments. They will worship. This is part of worship. What this is. Singing, playing the instruments, it's part of worship. It's a festive occasion. What a happy city. What a joyful city. Unlike the cities that we have now. The rioting, fighting, just so much mess going on. Not in his city. Not in his. There shall be great joy in his city. There is real great joy in Jesus Christ. Great joy. And there's great joy in each other. Great joy in each other. And all my springs are in thee. That word spring, springs means source. That just opened that verse up for me. Jesus Christ is the source of all spiritual blessings. That's what he's saying. All my springs, the source of all my blessings, are in Jesus Christ. The source of all my happiness. Now, this is so. The source of all my happiness is Jesus Christ. It comes to me through him. The source of all grace comes to me through him. The source of all my righteousness comes to me through Jesus Christ. The source of all my wisdom comes to me through Jesus Christ. All the source of redemption, all the source of my sanctification, all the source of all that God has to give me flows to me through that man, Jesus Christ. It's written in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We don't have them anywhere else. Jesus Christ is the source of all heavenly blessings. It's written in Ephesians 2:6 that God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I and you, the whole of God's church right now, is seated in Jesus Christ. You know the whole church of God. I don't know how long this world's going to stand, but there are yet sinners to be born. But you know the whole church of God, from beginning to the very end of it, is all assembled before him right now. The whole church is assembled before him in Christ right now. You and I have to experience it. But as far as God's concerned, this matter is done. Now we have to experience it, and all those who are yet to be born must experience it. But as far as God's concerned, He's determined the end from the beginning. It's done. This is why, you know, I realize this now, and I didn't realize this when I was younger. You know, whatever trial God puts me through, whatever trial God's put you through, I realize this now. The end of that trial is already determined. It's already determined. Now the Lord will move me by His Spirit to pray for that which is already determined. He'll move me in that direction. And, you know, and I'll get out of sorts. Don't we get out of sorts? But He brings us around. He brings us around to that end that is already determined. And that gives me great comfort. That gives me great comfort. Job said He knows the way that I'll take when He has tried me. He already knows. Because He has determined the end from the beginning. You know, one of the things about, and I may be getting off here a little bit, but one of the things about chastening, when God chastens us, when we chasten our children, we have zero control of the outcome, right? You discipline your children, you have no control. They may get mad and take off down the road and do something stupid or whatever. We have no, but you know, when God chastens us, He has absolute 100% control of the outcome. The outcome's going to be what He determined. It's going to be that. He's going to determine the whole outcome. And I like that. I like that. It's not just He chases me and now let's see if He straightens up. No, I'm going to straighten up. I'm going to get it right. It may take me a while, but I'm going to get it right. He's going to see to it. Now, let me close. This is what we've learned. God has laid the foundation of the church. Jesus Christ is the church. I mean, He is the foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation on which the church is built. And everyone whom He saves in Zion. They are a part of that church. They will hear the preaching of the gospel through His church. The church, you know, you take, if you send, just like, let's take right here. You send me someplace to preach. The church sent me. The Lord sent me. But the Lord used the church to send me. And I preach, and the Lord saved somebody. Well, Zion sent me. You're a part of it. The church is, what I'm saying, the church is a part of it. Everyone whom He saves shall be born there. They shall be born again. They shall hear the gospel. They'll be a part of the church. The church is a part of this. And all our sources, all our blessings, all our spiritual blessings are in Christ. He's the source of them. And God shall establish her. This city was not going to, it's not going to fail. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. He says there that that the Lord Himself. If it was left up to us, we'd fail a long time ago. We'd quit. But God Himself is going to see to it that she's going to be established. He's going to establish her. I was trying to think that word establish means this, order. He's going to order her. He's going to order her steps. He's going to direct, guide, protect, keep her. He's going to establish, order her. And you know what's going to happen? And when it's all over, He's going to present her faultless before His throne. He's going to present us faultless before the presence of His glory. Isn't that good news? Oh, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion. Now, let us never get tired of this. Gathering together. Let us remember this. The Lord loves this gathering of His people. Whether it be here locally or universal, He loves it. He loves it. And I pray, God, that He'd make our love for our gathering here to gather to worship Him grow greater and greater until He takes us home. All right.